Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Touch Heal Relationship System, and the 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond. Today, I'm speaking with Alex Braddy, author of the Amazon number one bestseller, From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating the Life You Love. A superstar in the public opinion polling field, one of the youngest partners ever in a prestigious Washington research firm, her job was to listen to people and find out what they think and how they feel. She tuned into their emotional responses to get deeply in touch with their whys in life, and we all need to know our why. The irony is that during the 15 years she was rising to the very top of her field, she wasn't listening to her own inner voice to discover her true emotions, to pay attention to her deepest desires, and to understand why she was so miserably stuck in her own life. As a life coach, motivational speaker, and author, she founded her company, Inspire and Create, coaching and consulting. Through tremendous personal trial and error, she finally found her way, and now she's giving you the shortcut to start getting your life back on track. From Chaos to Clarity provides a step-by-step guide for clearing the gunk from your path and getting you moving with alacrity to the real life that's waiting for you. So welcome, Alex.
Hi, Erica. It's so great to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I so appreciate it.
Oh, well, it sounds like you've really done some incredible work. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. So tell us about your background. How did you get into that kind of public opinion work, and what is your education, your work experience? Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting. Sort of like a lot of things in life, it was an evolving process. I started out right after college in marketing, and I did my MBA part-time while I was working full-time, and it became really clear that I wanted to go more into market research and consumer research, and so that's what I specialized in. And from there, I started working for a cable news channel, doing audience research for them, and moving from there, I then ultimately ended up in D.C. Working for a very well-known public opinion research firm and essentially stayed with them for just over a decade, working my way up to partner. And it was a terrific career. So I spent sort of 15 years in this research world, and it was one of those situations where from the outside it kind of looked like I had it all, right? And I should be happy in the sense that here I was, I had this marvelous position as partner. I had clients. I was traveling all over the country for them doing work. And, why wouldn't I be happy? Well, what happened was over time, I got burned out with it. It became unfulfilling for me. It had been at one point, obviously, because I did choose to get into that field. But at some point, it just sort of started to lose meaning for me. And I started to realize that I wasn't really living my life the way I wanted to. I was on the road a lot. I was away from my family constantly. And that really took a heavy toll on me. And so I really had to sort of take a step back and say, do I want this to do I want my life to look like this in 10, 20, 30 years? And the answer to that always was wanting to get into a fetal position when I thought about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things, though, you kind of grind along, right, because you think you should, because, hey, I'm good at it, like I should do this, or, hey, you know, I really do, I have created a very, you know, good career here, I should be happy, I should keep going. But, you know, life is much too short to kind of keep going for those reasons, especially if you're not finding that fulfillment and that happiness that you're looking for. And that's really what sort of set me on my path to have my own personal discovery journey and then ultimately sort of make this transition into coaching and speaking and, of course, writing the book as well, you know, to help other people get unstuck in their lives.
But what made you decide to leave your job? I mean, what was it? What was the moment of clarity that helped you to decide, okay, I'm leaving and I'm going to go out.
And it took, hey, you know, it wasn't an overnight decision, right? I mean, I actually thought about it, you know, deliberated over it for just over a year. So this was not a rash decision by any stretch of the imagination. I think the pivotal point for me was, you know, I basically hired a life coach of my own, and that's when I started on my own self-discovery journey. I started realizing that, you know, I had all these sort of subconscious beliefs I was walking around with that, you know, some people call them limiting beliefs or self-sabotaging beliefs. And once I sort of started to get in touch with all of that and learned how to reprogram those, I started to open up to the idea that there were other possibilities. And, you know, once I had this knowledge, once I realized, you know, that I essentially had the power to create my life the way I wanted it, that I had actually created it in the way it was at that time, which was a hard pill to swallow because I didn't love what I had created. So it was kind of like, wait, what do you mean that I created this? I don't even like it. But of course we do, right? We create our lives. We make choices and decisions that lead us to where we are. But there's great empowerment in that. I mean, once you realize that you do create it, then you can essentially take control back and say, okay, well, I may have created by default or without realizing it until now, but now I can be a deliberate creator. And I guess it was, you know, realizing that I did have that power, then I knew I couldn't stay where I was, that it really was time for me to kind of step out of this darkness that I felt I was in and into the light and start building a life that worked for me. Because, you know, it's once you get that knowledge, right, once you get that self-awareness, what are you going to do, sort of stick it all back in the box? No, the genie's out of the bottle. And so for me, that was really the pivotal moment was, yeah, it's time. It really is time for change.
But then you had a financially stable career, and you must have saved up money, so you had money to live on. What do you say for someone who's not so financially secure, if they, you know, are not satisfied with what they're doing and they want to do something else?
Yeah, I love that. So it's such a great question, and it's so true. I was blessed that I was able to sort of take time out and figure things out for myself. And so many people are not in that situation, right? Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck, and I know how that feels. I've been there, and it does feel like, how can I ever change this? So the thing that I would make really clear is that you don't have to quit your job and figure out your calling and then go make money at it. Right? So if you're sort of feeling unfulfilled in where you're at right now in your work and what you're doing each day, look at what does bring you joy in your life. Look at what at some of the things that you do feel passionate about and bring them into your life in other ways. You know, you're sort of answering your calling or sort of feeling fulfilled doesn't have to be what you do for a living. It can take many different forms. I mean, it could be a hobby that you love. Maybe you really enjoyed art as a child and you want to just bring some of that creativity back into your life. Go take an art class. Go take a painting class, a drawing class. You know, it can be getting involved in a cause or a charity that you feel really drawn to and, you know, giving, not necessarily financially if you can't do that, but giving your time or giving some kind of resources, right? So look at sort of what drives you to want to be involved in something and what sort of brings you that joy, what brings you that fulfillment, and bring it into your life in a small way where you can sort of create these, you know, sort of like an oasis of time for yourself each week where you go and spend, you know, an hour, whatever it is, an hour or two doing what you love. And you may find over time then that you learn more about that, you start to move towards it, maybe it becomes a bigger part of your life. But the point is that it's not, this is not about you got to quit your job and go find something that, you know, is really your higher purpose and go make it your primary source of income. It's more about looking at how do you bring that joy and that fulfillment into your life, and that takes different forms for different people.
So where does someone start if they know something needs to change, you know, and they're not even sure where to begin?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, here's the good news. The mere recognition that something has to change, that is a start, right? That's actually, believe it or not, that is the first step, having that initial awareness. And then the next step after that is really, you know, understanding this concept that we already have all the answers inside of us, that it's not about what other people said or what they did or didn't do and the things that happened to us. I mean, yes, those are all experiences we can learn from, but we do have to acknowledge that we create our own world. We create our own experience. And actually, my book walks you through how to sort of realize and understand that concept and, you know, why it is all our own creation. And then it helps you understand how do you then, once you've accepted that, once you take that control, how do you then recreate whatever aspects of your life are not where you want them to be right now? And of course, there's other steps that follow from that that I lay out in the book, but that kind of is the initial part, is essentially owning it, owning that you've created your life and that you can create it moving forward. And as I said, you know, earlier for me, that was a difficult concept to grasp at first, but once I did, it was incredibly empowering because it opens up all kinds of possibilities for you.
Yeah, and my mentor and teacher, Alana Rubenfeld, who she created this wonderful mind-body therapy system, the Rubenfeld Synergy Method, she used to always say, stop shooting on yourself. So I heard the word should. So how is this word should an indicator that you're not following your passion and your purpose?
Yes, I love that. And I say that too, stop shooting all over yourself. I love that phrase. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't even realize we're saying that word half the time. You know, how many of us sort of find ourselves saying, I should do this or I should do that. But I always tell, you know, my coaching clients, start paying attention to when you say that. I mean, almost mentally sort of raise a red flag in your mind when you hear yourself saying should, because should can be us needing to do something rather than wanting to do something. So, for example, are you agreeing to take on a project for a friend because you want to and you have time and you're able to, or it's because you feel you should, or you feel obligated, you know, you feel you need to prove you're a great friend. And when we come from a place of should or need, we're often imposing constraints on ourselves that are not real. And we're essentially allowing others to direct what's happening in our lives rather than us making a conscious decision about it. So anytime you find yourself saying should, pause for a moment and ask yourself, whose should is that? is it my should? Do I genuinely believe that I, you know, want to do this, have time to do it, it's a priority for me? Or is it someone else's should? Is it an obligation that's coming in that perhaps I really don't have time for it, but I'm sort of propelled to do it because, you know, we always say yes, that's what we do, and we feel that others have these expectations of us. So it is kind of a little signal to examine, okay, what's going on here, and does that should belong to me, or is it someone else? Is it someone else's life that is essentially, you know, superimposing on mine right now?
That's really a great explanation of it. So I have another question. How can you tell if you're stuck in life or if it's just a temporary thing, you know, maybe today you're feeling a little off? Like, how can you tell I'm really stuck and I need something to change?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, most people kind of know they are stuck because those symptoms show up pretty strongly and they're persistent, right? I mean, we all have off days. I mean, let's be honest, right? So we all have days where we just, you know, can't really get it together or, you know, I mean, that's not really what I'm talking about. Sort of if it's just happening for a day and you feel, oh, I'm really stuck today, but the next day you wake up and everything's going fine again, then, you know, you're probably not stuck. But if your symptoms are kind of persisting, so just to give you some examples, I mean, if your life isn't moving in the direction you want it to and you're not sure how to change it, you're stuck, right? So if you're on this path and it seems to keep moving that way and you just can't seem to get a break from the situations you're in, chances are you're stuck. If you're living Einstein's definite insanity, right, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, chances are you're stuck. And even if you have consistent sort of nagging feelings of frustration or anxiety, or you're feeling burned out, stressed, overwhelmed, or just simply knowing that there must be more to life than you're experiencing, chances are you're pretty stuck. And I know this is, always conjures up kind of a visual, image, but some people have even described their feeling to me as emotional constipation, that they just cannot get things going again, that they just feel so kind of like trapped or hemmed in. So.
I've never heard that before. That's wonderful.
I know. When the first person said that to me, I was kind of taken aback, and then I thought, yeah, actually, that's an interesting analogy. Certainly, it's a powerful one.
Well, it makes it very clear.
Yes, it does. It does.
Something's not moving. Yeah.
Right.
And another expression or feeling that people often have is that they don't have enough. They want more. Talk about that. How does that affect being stuck or getting unstuck?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that many of us grapple with, right? That, some of us are walking around with these, you know, subconscious beliefs. And a big one is, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. That kind of thing. I don't have enough, whatever that enough is. And those are essentially sort of limiting and deeply held beliefs that are keeping us stuck and afraid to move out of our comfort zone. And what happens is, we end up just playing it safe and living the same old, because we don't believe in ourselves and our own power. But one of the most simple but effective things you can do with some of those limiting beliefs when you find yourself sort of saying, well, I don't know if I'm good enough, I'm not sure if I'm smart enough for that job, is literally turn it on its head and ask the opposite. What if I am good enough? What if I am smart enough? And I know that sounds too simple, but so many of us never even stop to contemplate that possibility. And frankly, it's true. We are all good enough just as we are. And if you're having trouble with that idea, I mean, just look for evidence of success in your life where you were good enough or smart enough or talented enough, and focus on those positive instances in helping you to believe that you are good enough just as you are, so that you're not sort of coming from this place of lack where, you know, it's not enough, I don't have enough, I'm not good enough, and sort of shifting your mindset around, no, actually I am. You know, I do have enough. There is abundance here. I am smart enough. I can do what I set my mind to.
Wow. As you're talking, I'm thinking about couples, because I work with a lot of couples and their relationships. And you might feel I'm good enough, but my partner's not good enough. So it really works to look at that person and say, how are they good enough? Not just about
Absolutely.
Yourself, the person
yeah.
too. That's wonderful,
yeah, that's a,
wonderful to think. To
yeah,
remember
and I,
moments where they were successful.
Absolutely, and I love that you brought up that example because, you know, when we, you know, when you're in a partnership and you're in a couple, there is this, you know, tendency to sort of focus on what he or she doesn't do or did wrong, right? I mean, we can all sort of make that list of little things that irk us, right, about our partner. But
right.
the fact is that wherever you focus your attention is what you're going to get more of. So if we're focused on what our partner, you know, didn't do, he didn't take the trash out again, he always forgets to do whatever, blah, 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 you know, the kind of thoughts that we all have at times, guess what? You're kind of locking that behavior into place with that other person. So it really does, not just with yourself, but with others too, shift your focus and look at, well, wait a minute, what does he do well? What things do I really love that he does? And focus on those, because where you place your thoughts and your energy is what grows. So you'll start to see more of the good stuff showing up. So I love that you brought up that example, because it sort of, it shows you how it's not just about you, it's about others too, and how you choose to see them and where you choose to place your attention.
And as you're talking, I'm also thinking about teachers in a classroom with young students. And if they believe in the student and don't focus on the bad stuff but focus on the good stuff, I would say also your body. I hear people say things like, I have bad knees and a bad back, and they're focusing on what's negative rather than how their body supports them. So it's much bigger than just your own belief about yourself.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, it's true of, I mean, I love the examples that you're providing. And it, you can apply it to basically everything in life, because what we think about, what we feel, what we believe inwardly, it all contributes to the outward reality we create and how we perceive things. So, I mean, when you place your focus on something, that is essentially what you're going to get more of. It's where you're channeling your energy and your thoughts. And so that's why, you know, and I talk to my clients about this a lot, is be careful where you're putting your thoughts. Really do be conscious of it, because if you're always focused on, oh, this isn't good enough, or, you know, this is, you know, such a pain for me, you know, this is all going wrong, I, you know, always finding things to complain about, that's really what you're going to experience. You're going to experience more of the bad stuff. But if you put your focus on what's going well, the things that you are grateful for, then, and focusing on what you have instead of what you don't have, that's what's going to show up more in your life, is all that positivity and attracting that to you. So it's so crucially important where you place your thoughts and your beliefs about yourself and everyone else around you too.
So how do you teach people to go from being stuck to unstuck? What kind of process do you help them go through?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, essentially the book is, it's a roadmap for how to go literally A to Z from stuck to unstuck. And it provides various different processes along the way, you know, just to sort of give you a little bit of a nutshell on what some of those are. Obviously, we don't have time to get into all of it. But, I mean, the first step is, like I said earlier, is recognizing that you create your own life, like realizing that you have the power within you. You already have all those answers within you. And then it's about looking inside. You know, I have a whole process in there about helping people identify what are some of my subconscious beliefs that I'm walking around with. Are they limiting me? Are they really my beliefs anymore? Did I pick them up when I was younger and I've just been carrying them around with me? Can I release them and replace them with a new belief that serves me better? And I show people exactly how to do that so that they can create this whole new sort of reprogramming around those beliefs that essentially are our operating system and kind of dictate how we make decisions in our life. And then another key step is, you know, looking at, are we listening and tuning into all that negative chatter that we have going on in our head, or are we listening to our positive self-talk, our true self, our real self? You know, and we all have that negative chatter, right? I mean, you have a good idea, and the minute you have it, in comes that voice in your head going, you can't do that. You don't know how to do that. Don't be ridiculous. Go back over here and do whatever you were doing before. This is nuts, right? We've all been there. And so I also walk people through, how do you recognize that it really is, it's just negative chatter, it's not real, how to quiet it, and then how to tune into that positive self-talk, because there is another voice in there. It's just that it's quiet, and it needs to be invited in and connected with, but that's the part of you that has all the answers to your questions, to your frustrations, to understanding, like, what should I be doing in life, how should I be making my decisions. That's the part of you that has your, you know, your higher good, and knows what's right for you. So how to do all that. And as you move through those two big pieces in terms of sort of reprogramming the subconscious and tuning into your positive self, then you can start releasing the past, right? Releasing the negativity and opening up to the possibilities and realizing that you can direct your present and your future and becoming much more self-aware about what are those decisions and choices that I'm making. So those are just a few of the steps that are in the book, and it's laid out in such a way that, you know, I'm sort of explaining how I went through those, you know, steps, but also how does the reader do that, so that they are, after reading the book, they come away equipped to do all of that themselves and to work through all those steps and get things moving again.
Mm. It sounds wonderful and so useful. So I have another question. When you talk about raising your energy vibration, you know, and looking for the positive in any, in everything, and having gratitude, are we supposed to just put on a happy face, or how do you face some real negative feelings? Like, how do you deal with all of that?
Yeah, I love that question, because that is sort of the, sometimes when we hear all that about raising your vibration and, you know, always sort of being in that positive place, it's kind of the initial question, well, wait a minute, if I really feel bad, I'm supposed to just be happy? And the answer is no, absolutely not. In fact, that's one of the worst things we can do. If we just pretend to be happy when we're not, we're essentially suppressing real feelings. And that means they're getting stuck inside us, and therefore they're keeping us stuck in life. So instead, what we want to do is acknowledge our feelings. I mean, they're very real, and your feelings are essentially your internal GPS. They're your guide to what's going on. You know, if you don't feel good about something, it's a signal that whatever's happening is not in alignment with who you are, and something's up there, and you really need to look at that. So don't suppress them. You know, we want to actually feel the emotion and take a moment to understand why we're having that emotional experience. You know, why am I feeling angry right now? Why am I sad right now? Why do I feel depressed right now? What's really going on there? And unpack that feeling. Allow it to be what it is. And because it's only then, once we kind of accept that we're feeling that and we sort of look at it a little deeper, and again, you know, in my book, I walk you through how to do that. It's only when we accept it that we can then make a conscious decision to release it and replace it with an emotion or thought that might better serve us. So we may feel sad or rejected or depressed over something that happens, but we can look at that, we can feel it, and we can understand what the message is that's being sent there. Okay, I really don't feel good about this situation, but ultimately, then you do have a choice. Well, do I kind of want to wallow in this and continue to feel this way now that I understand where it came from and what's causing it? Or do I want to actually shift my vibration and raise it a little higher? Is there a better thought that I can have about what's going on right now? Is there another perspective that I can take that will make me feel better and, you know, move me a little bit further up that emotional scale?
Wow, there's a lot to understand, guess we really sometimes need advice and coaching about this. So can you give us a few tips that you would offer to someone to start getting them to get a little forward momentum in their life?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking that. So, I mean, just three quick tips. Hit the pause button. That's the very first thing, because you're moving in a direction you don't want to. So we can't just reverse it right there on a dime. You got to slow down. It's like turning a ship. You got to slow down before you can turn. So hit the pause button, assess the situation for what it is, and really importantly, accept it. Because until you accept that situation, you cannot change it, right? The more you hate on it, the more you resist it, the more you're essentially locking it into place. So accept your situation for what it is, but know that you can change it, right? So accept it first. Next, start identifying what you want in life. And that can be a difficult question. Even though it's a simple question, it can be difficult to answer. If that's the case for you, start with what you don't like, what you don't want in your life that's showing up, and use that to then make the list of what you do want. So if I don't want this and I don't like this happening in my life, what is it that I actually do want? So start getting very clear on what you actually want in your life. And then third, as I said earlier, start paying attention to where your thoughts are and where you place your focus. Start putting your focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. And realize that you really do hold the power to create the life you want. And it's you do it by where you channel your energy and your thoughts. That's the very first part of that. So start focusing on the things that you want and how you want to feel, and start looking at how those can become possible for you and what you already have or know that can help you get there. And then you can start sort of taking the action steps to move yourself towards those things.
That's really great. We're running out of time, and I'd like to just a quick answer about this. As a coach, what's the first thing you ask your clients so that you create, you know, the openness for them to start to change?
Honesty. Honesty with themselves and honesty with me, because we can't move forward. They can't move forward. I can't help them unless they're really being honest about where they're at and where they want to go.
Wow. Thank you so much. You have so much to offer people, and we all can use these tips. So just give a website, or where can they go to get your book?
Absolutely. My website is alexbratty.com, and the book From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love, is available on Amazon any which way you like it, Kindle, paperback, or audio.
Wonderful. Alex, it was wonderful speaking with you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Erica. I really appreciate it.
So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond and Be Happy and Healthy. And if you're ready for love, join the 30-Day Love Challenge or buy it as a special holiday gift for someone you care about. Click the link in the right column at my website, drericagoodstone.com. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.